Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
A little while back now, my mom got a new van, as grandparents do. She got a van and upgraded from an old one, and she asked me to go move it from like one parking spot to another. And so I thought, no problem, right? No problem, except for like it's way more complicated. This is like my old man rant for the day, so you're just gonna have to let me get it out of my system, okay? Is that like it has a key fob that you don't, it's just you get near the car and it turns on or whatever. So sit there, but then there was the most confounding thing. I'm sitting there and there's no like gear shifter to like put it in park or drive, there's buttons. And so I'm sitting there and looking, and then finally I realize, but there are like all kind, like the dashboard almost looked like this for real. When I was trying to back up, that there was like something there, that there's cameras all over. Does anybody have a vehicle like that? All right, good. Is it just constantly nagging you that like you might be too close to a butterfly and so watch out, or you're like, I am aware that when I'm going over the speed limit that might be a thing, like whatever it might be. It was nonstop warnings to the point that like I'm sitting there and then my wife calls and she's like, what's taking you so long? I'm like, I don't know how to really shift it into reverse. Like it was embarrassing, right? But all of these warnings, I'm sure that when Honda made this thing, that they had the best intentions at heart. But man, it was like information overload to the point that like I just wanted to go back to the MVA and just give them my driver's license and be like, clearly I am not fit for the road. Give me my old janky Jeep that like barely runs, but at least I know how to put it in gear, right? But there are all of these things, and as we look, and you know that there's cars in your blind spots, or that my outfit didn't match, or whatever it was that it was trying to warn me about, like the warnings try to nudge us into a place that allow us to then kind of be within the bounds of either the covenant that we have made. That's like a churchy term for like. Like there is this agreement that we have, whether that be with other drivers on the road or with God, or all of these ways in which we can keep ourselves not just safe, but to try to live that best life that we have. And so as we talk about warnings today, as we kind of work through what is really the front of your bulletin, let's just take a minute and talk about how we got here. So if you need like a visual, you can look down here at your bulletin. But we started off our first week, like Jillian mentioned, with creation. And we talked about how we have a God who is bigger than big and closer than close. That God created all of the things that we see and that we don't see, the heavens and the earth, the things that we understand, the things that we don't, and the things that we get absolutely wrong. But even in the midst of this big creation, God is willing to be with us, to be a God of first names. And so we saw on our second week when we celebrated our Vacation Bible School and shared that story of the Exodus, that there are times and places where there is friction that then calls us to move to that next thing, to move the people of God out of Egypt into the next faithful step of where they are called to be. And then last week, we talked about how our faith and the way that God calls us to be faithful makes us a little bit odd. It makes us different. It makes us be the people that maybe don't look and feel and seem like everybody else. And so we talked about how in the wilderness from Egypt that we find our identity, that in those wilderness places, in those places of hardship, oftentimes that's where our identity is formed. That's where we learn who we are and whose we are. And so there was the giving of the Ten Commandments, but also that then when we set God as king, the kingdom that we are building is a little bit different. And yet the people said, well, everyone else has an earthly king, so we want to be like everyone else. And time again, God says, I think that there's a better way, but if you want that, God gives us what we call for and ask for as a gracious God, as a God that says, okay, this loving parent's going to kind of say, okay, let's see how this works out, right? And so that similarity of being like everyone else then, the prophet Samuel is, you know, God says, look, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And so in doing that, I'll give them what they want. I'll give them a king. And this king, the first king was named Saul. I'll give them that, but also make sure that they know of the ramifications of all the stuff that's going to go on, because they're going to be then under the umbrella of a king who's going to take taxes, who's going to do this, and all of those other ripples that happen. And so now we're kind of living into that. We're kind of living into, we want a king, we want this and this. And so to keep order, but also kind of respect that decision, God has what we call prophets that begin to share these warnings with other people, that these people have heard, kind of been the mouthpiece of God, and they heard God speak. And so they give these warnings similar to this sign right here, right? And so then it's our job to not only take notice, but also to respect. And so, like, this is fairly close to our house, and so you can keep driving past the detour sign, but you're not going to get to much of a meaningful place, right? Because a mile down the road, it is definitely closed, that there is definitely a bridge that is out, and so unless you're going to, like, Dukes of Hazzard it, you're not going past there, right? And so one of the things that we do when we hear these warnings of these prophets, the prophets are these wonderfully eccentric, wonderfully strange people that, like we heard from the story of Jonah, who gets swallowed by a whale and then the real Hebrew word is vomited up onto the beach, right? There are these people like Jonah, or these people that have visions, like we'll sing about in a little bit, of dry bones being knit back together, or prophets that have these just absolute kind of like pyrotechnic shows, like Elijah that is coming against the prophets of Baal, and he comes into their kind of home turf in this stadium and he mocks them, which is always a good thing when there's like 500 of your opposition and there's one of you, and you're going, well, send fire down. And then he starts to joke with them, right? But there are these people that live their lives, not just through their words, but as a living witness of what that is. There are some real, like some of the strangest stories that we have are these object lessons from these prophets who are trying to be this warning to God's people. And time again, they go, I don't think so. Or I think we know better. Like when fire rains down, I think that for me would be the key to be like, oh, let's listen up, right? But not necessarily for us as a people. And so what we want to do is make sure that we realize that the boundaries of these warnings aren't to kind of hem us into this very kind of vanilla life that we have that God wants and has in store for us. But rather, they kind of create these bounds upon which we can then understand that there is such fullness in the life that God has in store that we, if we just kind of pull back a little bit and see that there is this life abundant, rather than living out of fear, there's this life abundant that allows us then to step into the fullness of what God has. And one of the best kind of images that I have for that is when I was back in the day, when I was learning how to do some winter sports, the first year, my cousins were skiers, and so I skied for a season. And their big thing, I don't know if it's the same way now or if it was just with my cousins, but when I was starting, their big thing after every run or after a session that we would do was they would ask the question, how many times did you fall? And I thought, that's kind of weird, like, okay, and so it was a competition to see who fell less. And so when you ski with this mentality of my whole goal is not to fall, you ski scared, right? You ski scared. And so that next year, then I decided that I was going to try snowboarding, and that was more my style because I would skateboard in the summer and things like that. And so and it turned out that this was my jam, not because of the question of how many times did you fall? Dude, you fall all the time. Like, that's not the question. The question is, what did you do that was amazing, and did you get back up? And again, that may have been just the segmented thing, and the cultures have changed a little bit, but I thought that there is such liberation in the fact that if I am learning how to snowboard and doing the things that eventually then became like, that was my winter job for years, was teaching people how to snowboard, and they would always give me the classes to go into the snowboard park and teach people how to do tricks because, man, it didn't matter how many times you fell, but if you tried something new, that's the gift. Right? And if you do it wrong, there may be a warning or a challenge or a correction that comes, but just because you get that warning, challenge, or correction doesn't mean that you have failed. It just means that there might be a different way to go about doing the thing that you're trying to do. And so we, as the people of God who hear these warnings or who know those warnings are out there, we need to stop living scared. Because the message time and time and time and time again is not from Jesus that I came so that you might obey and conform and do exactly so that everyone looks exactly and acts exactly the same, right? He said, no, I came so that you might have life and life abundant. Isn't that liberating? That's not skiing scared. That's like snowboarding free. And so as we come to that and we look at these warning signs, oftentimes we see these kind of doom and gloom prophets and think, man, all they're doing is telling about how God is going to destroy and that there's negativity and there's hardship on the horizon. But what they're saying is that if you want to follow that path that leads to life abundant, realize that some of those detours might be in your best interest to listen to. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes my first reaction is to push against those detours, right? Is to look at those warning signs from my mom's van and go, I don't know about that. That's merely a suggestion. Even though that backup camera is in the red, I bet I can get a little bit closer. Yeah, I'm not making the payments on this thing. But then what happens? The question is that so what happens then if we find ourselves on the other side of that line of warning? If we mess up and if we don't follow that detour, if we do something that gets us outside of the covenant of God and we find ourselves on the other side of that boundary, think that for us, we need to remember that all is not lost, that we can always find a way back to what God has in store for us, and that there is this way of realizing that even in the misstep, there is grace. A study that came out not too long ago tracked some early college-age students into their first couple of years of school and tracked in kind of their home life and what that was. And what it found was is that those who grew up in a very strict, I'll say graceless, family that kind of had that, we have to have all of our ducks in a row and you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do this, all of these rules and not necessarily warnings or promptings, they found that those students who then stepped outside of the bounds of those rules one time pretty quickly had this mentality that, well, if I've already messed up and that there is no grace, then what's the point of even trying to worry about it at all? And so Kendra Creasy Dean, one of the youth ministry professors, said, so what they did was that they took their faith jacket off and put it in a corner, and they decided, well, now that that's gone, there's no hope of rebuilding that. But that's not necessarily what we see at Scripture. But instead, take out your bulletins, because you can find it on the screen, but it's also in your bulletin. It's a good thing to just maybe remember this week. And I want to read our verse of the day together. So if you get that out, or it's on the screen, but it's in a font that's not necessarily the easiest to read, because I wasn't thinking. But let's read this together and see what kind of picture that kind of paints for us when we step outside of the bounds of that covenant or don't take heed of the warnings that God has for us. So let's read from Lamentations. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. his mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Now, if we find ourselves outside of that covenant, each morning, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love for us is renewed. And so if we think that we are ever too far away from rekindling or recapturing what God might have in store to be brought back into right relationship, like that's the whole point of Jesus, that like all of us, every single one, fall short of what that glorious mark that God has in store for us originally. But at the same time, there is nothing that can separate us from that love that God has in store. And so we remember that these warnings are a way to keep us on track towards a life abundant, and that even when we find ourselves outside of that, that every morning God's grace and mercy abounds anew. That changes our perspective. And so whether we feel like we are in God's good grace or we feel like we're outside for right now, we need these warnings and these nudges to kind of help us take that next faithful step, whatever that might be. And so when we think about those types of things, think about those people that you allow to speak into your life. Just by a show of hands, and let's shout it out today. Who are some of those people that you allow to speak into your life? If you're sitting next to someone, there might be, and you brought them with you, there might be a right answer to this, but I'm not going to say that for you, okay? So what are some, who are some of those people? Spouse? Yep, there we go. Just going to throw that out there. Yeah. What else? Who else? Your mom? Who's, oh, you said that? Okay. Yeah. Friends? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. They are phenomenal people. Yeah, and we sometimes forget that. Yeah, we'll come back to that in just a minute. Yeah, awesome. Any others? Right? Sister? Yeah, right. Family, friends, sometimes those colleagues, those coworkers that we connect with that know us. Right? These people speak into our lives, and sometimes they can be these small voices like Jonah's message, like Carrie read for us. Carrie read the entirety of Jonah's message of hope. Are you ready for this? And this is one that my seminary professor said, this may be the worst sermon ever preached. Ready? Here we go. Get ready. Sit down. Get comfortable. So the prophet comes in and he says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That's it, right? And the entire community there in Nineveh, like, and again, I will go back, and the VeggieTales version of Jonah's story is by far the best story in retelling of this. But he goes in, he tells that, he says, you know, 40 days and you're going to be overthrown. And then in the movie, in the animated movie, he kind of just sits down on this cliffside and just waits for God to, like, strike them down with a lightning bolt. But they respond. But the people that are allowed to speak into our lives, when we respond and these warnings start to allow us to see things differently, man, we are in control. We have that gift of choosing our own path. And yeah, we may have fallen 1,000 times before, but when it really matters, we get to shape our own story. And so, you know, what has been done is that my girls love to be part of, they're in a couple of different like writing clubs and classes, and there are these things called story cubes. Have you seen these before? They look like this, and so you roll the die, and then you have to create a story out of this. And essentially, it's like we have all of these different pieces, and we may hear warnings in one place or another or things like that, but there are always these opportunities then to realign how we will tell our story. And how when we see and hear God's story, as we progress on, it's not just this thing that we take in as kind of these non-active participants, but we see that then after we hear God's story, we hear these nudges, we see the way that God is acting and moving, then we get to write and take our place in the rest of the story. When the prophets and those people speak life into us, whether we want to hear that or not, there is an opportunity for us to retell our story. And so what our next steps are, what our so what today is that maybe none of us really like being told that we are wrong or that we've gone outside the lines. But our next step is to faithfully hear those voices and then respond appropriately. So, you know, we have the power to choose what warnings we want to hear. We often bristle at these warnings because there are truths that we know deep down inside we should be moving. Yeah, have those conversations like, I know I need to have this conversation with somebody, but I don't. I know I need to make this change in my life, but I don't, right? Doing that next faithful step means taking a small step towards hearing the prophets that are speaking into our lives and saying, I know that there is an abundant life available for me if I am willing just to listen and respond to the plans that might be a greater purpose and vision for my life, so that we can then not quit before the miracle happens, as our Celebrate Recovery friends say, because we are God's, and remembering that we can not only then be hearers of those prophetic words, but when we see somebody, like Robert said, the Faith Point community, when we see somebody who is maybe off track a little bit, or we can speak life into them, we as a community can then take those next steps together to share and to show God's love in building up the kingdom. Let's pray. God, this week, we ask that we might have ears to hear what you are saying to us, whether they be from friends or family or from those storms of life, that we might see those detours that you might have nudging us into a new direction, but then also to have the hands and feet that are willing to respond, to go into the places that we need to grow, and to breathe life into each and every one of us. God of grace and peace, we offer up this time, we offer up this last song to you, knowing that we need our souls to be awakened to that new thing that you are doing. Amen. Let's stand and sing.